Podcast, shining a light to the nations.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm Bill Cloud. Thank you for joining us today in our program. Now, for a few weeks, we have been talking about the laws of a bondservant, and we're going to continue in that again today. And in the previous program, we specifically mentioned Psalm 40 and how Psalm 40, at least I believe this, is Israel in Egypt calling out to the Creator. He hears their cries, which we know that he told Moses that he's heard the cries of his people. He brought them out of a pit. He brought them up out of the miry clay. They were literally in miry clay when they were making those bricks. He set them upon a rock and established their steps. And as we go through this, then we come to a place where David writes that sacrifice and offerings are not what you desired. My ears you have opened. Sin offering and burnt offerings you did not desire. When we, in our previous program, when we kind of come to the end, we were talking about the fact that even though David wrote those things, David could not say of himself what it says in the next verse, "Behold, I come, and the scroll of the book, it is written of me." Only the Messiah could say that. And so then, we are going to kind of pick up there and see that it's really the Messiah who is speaking in Psalm 40. Through David, yes, but it's the Messiah who's speaking. David's prophesying, if you will. And so not only does Psalm 40 talk about Israel, but it's the Messiah speaking. He says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps." So not only did the Creator bring Israel up out of the miry clay and establish their steps, but he also brought the Messiah out of the pit, that is, the grave. And he was established, or if you will, he was set at the right hand of power. So that psalm is talking about the Messiah as well as it is talking about Israel, which is not some fanciful thing that I pulled out of thin air. That is something that rabbis have noted long time ago, that what happens to Israel, the same thing happens to the Messiah. When Israel is speaking, as it were, it's the Messiah speaking in certain cases. So as we continue in Psalm 40, we come to verse 6, and the Messiah is saying this as well. "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require." So it's the Messiah who's teaching us that more than sacrifices and offerings, more than these things, what the Creator is wanting from His people is that our ears should be open to hear His voice, to internalize within our hearts those things that we are to hear and do. And so to teach us this, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. "Lo, I come, in the scroll of the book it is written of me." He's coming to teach us that this is what the Creator is looking for. The Word becomes flesh, dwells among us as a bond servant. And His ears were opened to hear those things that the Father was saying so that He could teach us the heart of what the Father was saying as well. In John chapter 5, verse 30, it says this. Yeshua says, "I can do of myself, I can do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." And if we go to John chapter 15, verse 15, we have another very similar passage of Scripture. I'd like to read that too. It says, "For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you." And so once again, in Psalm 40, it's really the Messiah who says, "My ears you have opened. I understand what it is you're saying." And so the Yeshua tells us, and I'm going to paraphrase these two passages, "I'm not telling you what I'm going to tell you. I'm telling you what the Father has spoken to me to tell you. I'm not doing this of my own accord. I'm doing this to fulfill the will of the Father, because my ears are opened to hear what it is the Father is saying. And then as He speaks to me, I will speak it to you. And if you're getting offended at me, it's because your flesh is resisting the Word of God." Because Israel, long ago in Exodus 19, when God spoke, they resisted His voice because they didn't want Him to carry on, because they believed they would die. So they wanted their flesh to continue on to live, and so they wanted God's word to cease. When Messiah would speak, people would get offended. They'd try to kill him, do all these kinds of things, because he was speaking what God had given him to speak. And still Israel, and I'm including us in this as well now, didn't want to hear what he had to say because it was going to require them to die. So all of that is to say, Messiah is the one who says, "My ears you have opened." Messiah comes as a bondservant to teach us all the things that the Creator has already been speaking to us from the very beginning, and to demonstrate for us and manifest in his life and fulfilling the Father's will what the Creator wants from the rest of us, to be bondservants. Now again, David is the one who wrote Psalm 40, but David cannot make this claim that we find in Psalm 40, verse 7. "Behold, I come. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me." David can't make that claim because all of Scripture is not written about David. All of Scripture is written about the Son of David, the Messiah. He's the only one who can make that claim. That's why we're saying that Psalm 40 is really, not only is it Israel crying out, not only is it Israel saying these things, but the King of Israel, the Messiah of Israel, is saying these things because the whole of Scripture is about him. Now, you know, there are several instances when Messiah himself, Yeshua, speaks and says that the Torah and the prophets are speaking of him. The Torah and the prophets are testifying of him. We've covered this in detail in previous programs. Just a couple of examples are in Luke chapter 24, in John chapter 1, in Acts chapter 28. The Torah and the prophets, the Word of God, it's testifying of who he is because he's the Word, he's the will made flesh. And so he comes as this bondservant. Remember, Adam was told to till the ground. The word avad, till, or work, is where we get the word evid, or bondservant. But he failed. And so that's why the last Adam, the Messiah Yeshua, the second man, had to come as a bondservant to demonstrate this is what the Creator is looking for, those who are willing to surrender completely their will to his will. And so, it is Yeshua who speaks in Psalm 40, verse 7, and so consequently, that means it's Yeshua who speaks in Psalm 40, verse 8. And let's read that. "I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart." So, If Yeshua is saying that, "Behold, I come, and the scroll of the book, it is written of me," then he's the one who says, "I delight to do your will, and your law," and by the way, that word is Torah, "is within my heart." So then, we understand that the Father's will is to keep his commandments. And that's what the Messiah says he delights to do. "I delight to do your will. And your will is that we keep your instructions and your commands." And so consequently, those instructions are not just in my head, but those instructions are in my heart. I have internalized them. So if the Messiah Yeshua is coming as the bondservant to set an example for you and me, to demonstrate to us what it is the Creator is looking for, then we need to take note of what he says. "I delight to do your will. I delight to keep your commandments. Their commandments are written in my heart." So now let's read another psalm. This is Psalm chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. It says this: "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He, the one who does this, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." And so when it says that his delight is in the law of the Lord, literally what it says is his delight is in the Torah of the Lord. In Psalm 40, verse 8, the Messiah, through David, says, I delight to do your will. Your Torah is within my heart. So then, if we want to follow the example of the Messiah, then shouldn't we delight to do his will? If we want to follow the example of the Messiah, shouldn't his laws, his instructions, his Torah be written upon our heart? In other words, shouldn't they be internalized? Shouldn't it be more than just having an intellectual knowledge of them, but shouldn't it be part of who we are? And from our heart, these things will come and permeate our minds and our strength. In other words, we will hear and we will do. If we want to be blessed, if we want to prosper, if we don't want our leaf to wither and to fade, or the fruit to fall short, as we read about in Psalm 1, then shouldn't we likewise be those who delight in the law or the Torah of the Lord? Shouldn't we want to be like that tree that is planted by the rivers of water? Well, if we want to do that, then we have to come to the same realization that we see in Psalm 40, that sacrifice and offering is not what you desired. Sin offerings and burnt offerings is not what you required. You opened my ears. You helped me to understand when you opened my ears that to love you with all my heart, soul, and strength, to love my neighbor is myself. In other words, to die to me, to put myself below all these other things that are more important, and to put others before me, and ultimately to put your will before my will, that's worth more than all of the sacrifices and all the offerings and all the knowledge and all the other things that I can do, because I can do all of those things, and if I don't have that, if I don't love you that way, if I don't love my neighbor as myself, if I'm not willing to die to myself, then all those other things are really pointless. Because I've missed the whole concept of what it is you're trying to do. So the Messiah, again, comes to demonstrate what the Creator is looking for. And so if we're going to follow in the footsteps of the Messiah, if you want to do what Jesus would do, if you want to do what the Messiah would do, then we need to understand, he said, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your Torah is written or is within my heart. Those who are blessed, they're not going to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. They're not going to sit in the seat of the scornful. But their delight is in the Torah of the Lord. And they're going to meditate upon that Torah night and day. You know what that suggests to me? That they're trying to internalize all of these things because they truly want to serve the Creator with their heart, their soul, their strength. And so as followers of the Messiah, shouldn't we want to emulate his attitude, to have the heart of a bondservant, to serve out of love, not exclusively fear, to delight to keep his Torah, and to have our ears opened so that his instructions can be written upon our hearts? Now, Jeremiah chapter 31 says something about that. Verse 33, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law, and that word is Torah, I will put my law in their minds and write it upon their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And so again, the Messiah came to have his ears opened. He comes to teach us as a bondservant what the Father is wanting us to learn, what he is wanting us to do. And he speaks only those things the Father tells him to speak. Then he did those things according to John chapter 8 because the Father purposed for him to do it, not of his own will, but to fulfill the will of the Father. And so in John chapter 8, he says this, I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. So if that's what the Messiah came to do, you know, not of myself, but what the Father's teaching me, this is what I'm telling you. I'm telling you what he's telling me. I'm not doing this of my own. I'm not pulling these things out of thin air. That's what Messiahs say. I'm telling you to do what the Father has instructed me to tell you. And so if that's the method and if that's the purpose of the Messiah, and we want to follow in the steps of the Messiah, then I'm suggesting to you that that should be our attitude as well. That we should only be speaking those things the Father is speaking to us. We should only be doing those things the Father is telling us to do. Now, where are we going to find those things? In His Word. It's one thing to do what the church tells us to do, whether that be a Catholic church, a Baptist church, a Lutheran, a Pentecostal church. It's one thing to do what the denomination tells us we should do, we shouldn't do, because a lot of those things are based on Scripture. But there are times, ladies and gentlemen, that people lose sight of what the Father is telling us to do. There is a point where we can get so wrapped up in the doing what the church tells us to do, or what the synagogue tells us to do, that we stop doing what the Father told us to do. In other words, we can get into religion and abandon relationship. And the Father is not really interested in religion as much as He is in a relationship. And so, the Messiah says He come to do what the Father has instructed Him to do. Everything that the Father is speaking to Him, everything the Father is teaching Him, He's speaking these things to us, His followers. And so, we have to have ears that are open. We have to have ears that can hear. His ears were open. We have to have our ears opened as well. And again, Yeshua would often say, to him who has an ear, let him hear. We presume that everybody he was speaking to had ears. They had these appendages on the side of their head. But that didn't mean they were hearing what he was saying. So our ears must be opened to hear what he's saying. And then that's going to, like him, provoke us to do what the Father said to do. Even if it means that we're going to have to completely and utterly die to ourselves. Because is that not also what the Messiah did? Did he not demonstrate to us that to fulfill the Father's purpose that we must be willing to die to ours? Not my will, but your will be done. He came to hear and to do. And that is inherent in his statement that he came not to do away with the Torah, but to fulfill it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 says this, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." So there's several things that we can look at here, but I mean, right over there on the surface, it says, I didn't come to do away with those things. I came to fulfill them. However, that is not to be confused with meaning that he came to fulfill them so I don't have to do them. That's not what he's saying. He fulfilled them in that he came to make them full of meaning, or let's put it this way. He fulfilled them because his ears were opened. He was doing what the Creator had given him to do and spoken to him to do. He was doing exactly and saying exactly what the Father had given him to say and to speak and to perform. And that is how he's fulfilling it. He's making it full of meaning. And so, consequently, that makes it where our ears can be opened too. That in the doing of these things, we hear what he's saying. We hear in the sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, and I use that in a generic way, that our ears are being opened to what's really important. What is he really saying to us through all of these things? That is what is meant when the Messiah said, I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. Again, I need to be very clear about this. He does not say that I came to fulfill these things so you don't have to worry about them. Because if that was his intention, he would have said, I have come to fulfill these things so that you won't have to do them. That's not what he said. He came to make them full of meaning. He came to demonstrate what the Father was saying and doing through these things so that our ears could be opened as well. If you imagine a pitcher, a bowl of some type, maybe it's very ornate, maybe it's very expensive, and you've got it at home in a china cabinet sitting on a shelf. Well, as long as it's sitting on the shelf, that pitcher or that bowl is really not functioning in its purpose. It's not doing what it was designed to do, because at this point in time, it's empty. Because that pitcher or that bowl will have a hollow spot in it. And that hollow spot was placed there on purpose by its designer and creator to be filled with something. Because only when it's filled with something will it be complete. Only when it's filled with something will it be functioning in its purpose and fulfilling its design. So, likewise, the Messiah is saying the Torah is, you know, this vessel, if I can put it this way. It hasn't really been filled the way it was intended to be filled. There have been attempts, and people have fallen short, but it really hasn't been filled in the way it was intended to be. So what he came to do was to fill it up. And in filling it up, he then does not take it and throw it away and smash it and destroy it. Because by doing that, it still wouldn't be fulfilling its purpose. The only way it fulfills its purpose is if it's filled up. The only way that it's complete is when it's filled up. And when you fill up that bowl or that pitcher, let's say you fill up a pitcher with water, why do you do that? So that you can pour out of that pitcher into another vessel that's designed to be filled with something, and then it's complete too. And then you fill up another vessel that's designed to hold something too. He came not to destroy what Moses wrote or what the Torah or what the prophets wrote. He came to make them full of meaning so that our ears could be open and so that this vessel could be filled with what the Father is really desiring of us, so that our hearts, these things will be in our hearts and not just in our minds. That's what he means when he says this. So it's very, very important that we grasp this, and for some perhaps that might be a little hard to grasp a hold of, considering we've been taught, most of us anyway, all of our lives, that the Torah, all that stuff in the Old Testament has nothing to do with us. Well, if it has nothing to do with us, then why do we bother putting it in our Bibles? Once again, the Messiah came to demonstrate what a bondservant is. Someone who his ears are opened. That means he can hear what the Father is saying. His heart can be filled. These things can be internalized. And because they're internalized now, then they'll begin to permeate his mind. He'll begin to meditate upon these things night and day. Night and day, pondering these things, thinking over these things, so that we can internalize them even more. And the more they become part of us, then we begin to do them. We begin to do and manifest on the outside these things that he's told us to do. But again, this is very important. You can do all those things on the outside, whether you're in Judaism or Christianity or any other sect of Christianity. You can do all the things that the church tells you to do, dress this way, cut your hair that way, don't cut your hair, what have you. You can do all of those things on the outside. But if you failed to understand, the most important thing is that our ears be opened to the Father's will, that we be motivated to be servants to Him, the Master, because we love Him and we want to please Him. And so we delight to do His will, and we want His word to be hidden in our heart that we might not sin against Him. If we miss all of that, then those other things are meaningless. Those other things are without any merit. Because the Messiah in Psalm 40 tells us, through David, sacrifice and offerings not what you required. Sin offerings and burnt offerings are not what you really desired. What you really wanted, what you really required, what you really desired, is that my ears be opened to your voice, so that I would indeed hear your voice and keep your covenant, so that I could be fulfilled, so that I can be complete, so that I can function in my purpose as a person, as a family, as a congregation, as a people. And what is that purpose? So that we too, following in the footsteps of the Messiah, can be an example to others and what the Creator is looking for. So that we could be a light to the nations. And we can't be a light to the nations if we're acting like the nations. We can only be a light to the nations when we're acting like the light of the world, that is the Messiah, who prayed, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And he was committed unto the Father's will to the death. He completely and wholly died to himself. While I'm not saying that it's necessary that you give up your physical life, at least that's not my call to make, I am saying that it's required of all of us to die to ourselves if we're going to be the bondservant, if we're going to be that one who says, I will serve you forever. I want to thank you for joining me, and I hope that you've gleaned something from this teaching today, and I want you to join me next week. We'll be continuing the laws of the bondservant. Until then, I'm Bill Cloud. I want to say shalom. Thanks for joining in. Bye-bye.
Like what you're hearing? Become a Bill Cloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.